Amen. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Early in the morning, Jesus came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in their midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such. What do you say about her?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the eldest. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus looked up at and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for gathering us this evening in the presence of your Son. We thank you for these parents and the children that approach you to prepare for first confession, first reconciliation. We ask you may send your spirit of peace upon them and their families to always keep them safe, to keep them healthy, holy, and happy. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for coming. I know you're welcome here at St. Thomas. It's a joy to work with you. I see one of my roles as a priest as doing everything I can to help you in your great dignity and role as parents. I really believe that to the core of my being, that you are the first educators of your children, a very noble task before the Lord, to raise up young men and women, good citizens, please God, that are happy, holy, and healthy. Specifically now, we are looking at first confessions and first communion, a milestone in the life of your child or children, and one which brings them closer to Jesus. Has anybody gone through the first communion, first reconciliation prep before? Okay, so okay. Well, welcome back. And again, you are, you know, and I started with this passage because, you know, I'm new here. I don't know where all of you are at in your individual faith journeys, but you're here tonight, and many of you are here this weekend, and it is so good to have you. And we have this encounter, and I started that with that encounter of the woman caught in adultery, caught in sin, because she encountered Jesus, and we had that famous line from Jesus. You know, she committed a sin that at that time was the worst sin you could commit, and she was to be killed. She was to be stoned to death. And she was brought to Jesus, and he received a sinner, which he did so frequently throughout the Gospels. Not only received sinners, but went out and sought the lost, those that were living lives that were not according to the law. And what did he say? "Let him without sin cast the first stone." He was not the judge. He was merciful. So know that that's what you come to here at a Catholic church, and please God, any church you're a part of, that we're not here to judge, we're not here to cast stones. But the second thing is that a lot of times some people miss out on, you know, the all are welcome bid. All are welcome, but you're not welcome to go home the same person you came here as. You're welcome to come as you are, but please God, you'll be transformed and touched by Jesus Christ. And then when you go home, when you go back to the world with your children, your workplaces, that you will be different. You'll be convicted to grow. And that's what we're about here. We're about transformation. And so wherever you are, yes, know that you're very welcome here. You're welcome to come as you are. But please God, you don't leave here the same person you come here as. So welcome. You all promised in the rite of baptism, most of you promised this, some will soon, that you would raise your kids to be followers of Jesus Christ. You raise them to follow, that you'd keep the light of Christ burning in their hearts. You'd be faithful to Christ and his church. So how's that been going? Something to reflect on. You doing all right? Does it suck? Do you come here thinking, and these are rhetorical questions, but do you come here thinking, boy, I've really, it's been a while since I've been here at St. Thomas. Who is that guy? I'm Father Ben, by the way, not Father Chris, new priest. Have you been doing all right, though? What's it been like? And use this part. This is a key moment in your child's faith, and it's a key moment in your own faith. It's a moment when you can be renewed yourself to the love of Jesus. And to use this experience as your kid to impact your own faith. Your own commitment to Christ, to come to Mass, to pray before meals, all those simple things. And all that you do so, and we really are striving to be a welcoming place, that we help each other, we push each other, and we want you here, and we think you deserve to be here. We all deserve to come to Mass and have 1 hour out of the 168 of the week to have silence and peace where we're enriched by God's Word and His body and blood. Well, the first thing to always remember as parents, in all my wisdom, and it was a 31-year-old that's never had a kid or never will, but just some basic thoughts. One is that you can't give what you don't have, right? You can't give what you don't have. So if you send your kids to be prepared for First Communion, First Reconciliation, and then you just take them home, or you're not doing anything to help them at home, this isn't going to matter long term. Yeah, they'll get, you'll get the cute pictures and they'll receive First Communion, First Confession, and then, like a lot of kids, they probably won't come back to the sacrament, say, of confession until they're a junior. Or, I've had some college students, young adults, that they didn't come to confession for decades. And there again, when they come, praise the Lord. But we can't give what we don't have. And so we want this to be a preparation time for you. That if you grow in the faith, your kids will. If your kids see you going to church, they'll go to church. If your kids see you just drop them off at the door, hey, I'll pick you up at 11:30, what are they going to grow up to do? They'll never come to church again. It's hard. I know it's hard as a parent to raise kids in a Christian faith. Another thing I would strongly emphasize, and I hear this all the time, the kind of the let the kid choose attitude. Look, I want my kid to make my own decision. I don't want to force them to go to church. I got news for you. You do that all the time without having any qualms. You don't let your kid choose if they go to school or not. Or if they're in hockey or sports. You don't let them choose if they want to just sit practice out or not. You don't let them choose what they have for dinner every night. I would have had Skittles and pizza every single night. My mom didn't let me choose that. She said, you're eating vegetables. Well, I don't want to eat vegetables. Fine, sit there until you're done. You're sitting at the table until you're done eating your vegetables. In no other area in our life do we raise kids and say, well, you choose. I'm not going to force you to do anything. Except the faith. And I find that very curious because the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, is very clear about teaching kids the faith. Passing the faith on to the next generation. Because if we don't do that as adults, who does? And that's why you're seeing a huge gap in our church across our country of a whole generation that are not coming to the Lord because they weren't taught to. It's okay to drag your kid to Mass kicking and screaming. Then it's our job to make it something that's welcoming, something that will help them, that they get something out of it. But don't ever feel like, well, I don't want to force my kid to church because they'll never come back again. My parents, they forced us. One kid used it to be as an excuse. You guys always force me, so now I'm not going to be going to Mass except Christmas and Easter. And the other one became a priest. And the third one is a very faithful Catholic. So kids have a mind of their own no matter what you do. You have very faithful Christian parents that kids are doing everything and you'll never see them again. Then you have families that will never go to church and the kid, by the grace of God, has just an amazing conversion. So God has his plans, but we need to be faithful. You need to be faithful as parents. And I encourage you and challenge you to be faithful, to bring your kids here. and come here yourself. I say all this, you know, and as I finally feel like I'm kind of grown up a little bit because I have a job now and a paycheck, which I didn't have forever. But I am at the age where I could have, you know, had started having kids. What we do here is, and what I teach is that it's all about being happy. That the greater we follow God, the happier we are. Like, I'm a 31-year-old. Is it easy to give up a wife and kids? No, it's hard. On a side note, please don't ever take your kids for granted, because that's awesome. The gift to have children. But second, that you have somebody in your priest that absolutely loves the Catholic Church. Like, I would die for it. And that's because God has touched my own heart to such a degree that I believe it's true. If this is make-believe, if this is just, do you really think somebody like myself would be celibate? This is all just a fairy tale? Well, of course not. That'd be ridiculous. St. Paul says if this is not true, basically if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're the most to be pitied. And I certainly would be as a priest. So if this isn't true, well, we're to be laughed at. But it is true. And does that mean something for you? Does that mean something for your life? I hope it does. Because God wants you to be happy. The Catholic Church wants you to be happy. I want you to be happy. And the closer we are to God in His church, the happier we become. That's a fact. So with that, I have a... We got these for our parish. I don't know if this is our Christmas gift or a mission, but we had some leftover. There won't be any text on it, but it is a nice quick read about the importance of Jesus. There's even pictures and diagrams. But it's one of the best books I've found on Jesus matters. And why does He matter? Why can we trust the Bible, for instance? How do we know this isn't just some made-up fable? And then with Jesus, how can we know that He is God? That's huge. We believe Jesus was God. Only religion in the world that claims that our founder was God Himself. Muhammad never claimed to be God. Buddha never claimed to be God. Eastern religions never claimed to be God. Jesus claimed to be God. And we believe He is and was. Always will be. Second, Jesus became a man. That's what Curtis Martin talks about. Also amazing. That should blow us away. So God became a man. It'd be like a man becoming a worm. Even greater the distance. That's an infinite leap for us. He became one of us. He became a burping, sweating human being and died for us. And then finally, Jesus was raised from the dead. Two. I mean, the cross, we have them in every Catholic church, the tabernacle with His body and blood. He rose from the dead. Now, if those are true, that should matter. That should really make a difference in our lives. And it should also make a difference then when this man who was God, who did come as a person, who did die on a cross, who did rise from the dead, that should matter then when He says, "I found my church on you, Peter," or "I will be with you until the end of time." So if we believe each of those things, it's a very small step then to say, well, yeah, then I believe in the church. That just makes sense. If we actually believe that God exists, that Jesus was God and He rose from the dead, then our trust for the church should be there 100%. And that's something I encourage you with all those questions, to look at those questions. There's a lot of hard questions, especially morals. We always hear about them. Kind of when I was growing up in the faith, it was abortion. That was the big one. The hot button item that everybody wanted that the internet was full of commentary on. And now it's, you know, same-sex unions. That's the hot button issue that everybody's talking about. Those are challenging questions, one that need to be handled with grace and prayer and openness to what Jesus teaches through His church. But all of those, the church provides answers that we believe are true. And so seek those out. Seek out those answers. Don't just be the person on the sideline that says, "Oh, the church teaches blah 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 blah." First off, probably not. If you heard it from a newspaper article or 30-second sound bit, that great guarantee, take this one to the bank. That's not what the church teaches. Church teaches something much more beautiful than anything that can be captured in 30 seconds of CNN or some protest. The second, to know that even though the church is made of sinners, the church herself is Jesus Christ's mystical body. So I, as a priest, I sin. That's not the church sinning, that's me, my sinfulness. And there have been, obviously, there are priests that have done some atrocious things that I'm embarrassed and scandalized by. But that doesn't mean we can't trust the church. It doesn't mean we don't have many good men and women that serve us and that want nothing more than your happiness, your health, and your holiness. So know of, I'm here for you, I'm praying for you. It's a delight for me to work with kids. And most people that have been here a lot know that. I love being at the school and our faith formation kids. It's an absolute delight. I went to school to be a teacher myself, so love working with young people, and it's a joy to have your children with us, hopefully some others, and know that we're with you and we walk together towards this journey. Questions? If you don't, we'll sit here for 44 minutes.